In Haiti, catastrophe on top of poverty.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, good morning. I'm Bill Radke. President Obama today promised an all-out rescue and humanitarian effort to help the people of Haiti after yesterday's calamitous earthquake. The Red Cross says as many as 3 million people affected. The suffering is awful there, and it is intensified by the fact that Haitians survive on a good day within the worst economic conditions in the Western Hemisphere. Marketplace's Sam Eaton joins us now live. Good morning, Sam.
Morning.
Will you describe for us what the Haitian economy was like before yesterday?
Well, you have a country here where most people live on less than $2 a day. Many can't even afford the basic staple foods. You layer on top of that decades of political and economic instability, high illiteracy, rampant violence, environmental collapse. And this is a country on the brink of failed state status even before the earthquake hit. Just about the only thing keeping the economy going are remittances from people who managed to get out and foreign aid.
And what does that mean for Haiti's ability to recover from a disaster of this magnitude?
Well, the risk is that it could become the tipping point that pushes Haiti into that failed state territory. And more immediately, it complicates the ability to respond. There's little infrastructure and equipment in place to deal with this, so it all has to be shipped in from outside. I talked to Bill Canny, who directs emergency preparedness for Catholic Relief Services. And he says the state of the Haitian economy poses serious challenges beyond even these initial rescue efforts.
Haiti is also dependent on kind of a short supply chain for foodstuffs, rice from the United States, oil from countries, soap, you know, basic necessities. And if that's interrupted, that will lead to complications for people rebounding from this.
Canny says aid organizations like his have pre-positioned supplies in Miami. The big question is how fast they can get them on the ground in Port-au-Prince.
Marketplace's Sam Eaton, thank you for that.
Thanks, Bill.
In other news this morning, executives of four giant banks have been taking heat from the Financial Crisis Inquiry Commission up on Capitol Hill. This is a panel that government set up to find out what caused the collapse. And following the action has been Robin Farzad, who is the senior writer with Bloomberg's Business Week. Good morning.
Good morning. How are you?
I'm excellent. Thank you. We've heard long statements there on Capitol Hill and some contentiousness. What have we learned?
Things fall apart. We're human. It happened before. It happened now. It's going to happen again. And I think that this is an equal balance of substance and I think a well-deserved recrimination.
Yeah. Give us a flavor of the back and forth there.
Well, I think one of the highlights this morning was Phil Angelides, who is one of the commissioners, grilled Goldman Sachs CEO Lloyd Blankfein, and he said, when you package these assets into securities and sell them to investors and short them at the same time, it's like selling a car with faulty brakes and then buying an insurance policy on that car.
You know what? Yes, we actually have a clip of that. Let's hear some of it.
I'm just going to be blunt with you. It sounds to me a little bit like selling a car with faulty brakes and then buying an insurance policy on the buyer of those cars. It doesn't, because I'm not talking about your own positions.
Every
I'm talking
purchaser
about betting
of an asset here is an institution, okay, probably professional-only investors dedicated, in most cases, to this business.
Representing pension funds who have the life savings of police officers,
these
teachers.
Are the professional investors.
And it went on from there, Robin. Is this a productive exchange that's going to help prevent the next crisis?
I think it's very important because very too often Wall Street survives these quagmires by realizing that what it does is too complex for the average mom-and-pop person out there to understand. And what Mr. Angelides did was put it in very stark, easy-to-understand metaphorical terms. There's plenty of recrimination out there. You have record bonuses at a time of 10% unemployment and soaring food stamp use. And look, a lot of this is important. Whether or not we get substantive codified regulation out of it, maybe it's too late for that, but it's very much important to the closure process for average Americans out there who are suffering.
Robin Farzad, senior writer with Bloomberg's Business Week. Thank you.
Thank you.
Kraft Foods this morning raised its full-year profit forecast for the second time in a couple of months. And that has Wall Street slightly on the upside this morning. Kraft shares have been rising just a little bit. And European markets this morning have been, we're trying to get my Dow numbers here in just a moment. European markets were mixed today. Here we are, S&P 500 and the NASDAQ and the Dow, all less than 0.5% higher. The Dow's up 30 points at 10,657. Chinese markets were lower today. Hong Kong shares down 2.5%.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by MassMutual, for 158 years providing policyholders with solutions to help meet their financial goals at massmutual.com. And by Constant Contact, dedicated to helping small businesses and nonprofits build strong customer relationships with email marketing, online surveys, and event marketing. ConstantContact.com. Sustainability coverage is supported in part by the Candida Fund, furthering values that contribute to a healthy planet.
We're hearing a lot these days about how there are too many highly paid medical specialists and not enough primary care doctors for adults. Today, Congress hears from a coalition of pediatricians and children's hospitals who have a different sort of problem. From the Marketplace Health Desk at WHYY in Philadelphia, Gregory Warner reports.
Amar Patel is in his third year at Jefferson Medical College in Philadelphia, the time when med students start thinking about what kind of doctors they're going to be. He's considering pediatric orthopedics.
The population's a lot easier to deal with, it's more fun, and the children tend to get better quicker.
Pediatric specialists in areas like orthopedics, oncology, and rheumatology are in short supply. That's according to a new survey by the National Association of Children's Hospitals and related institutions. In part because doctors have gotten better at saving premature babies. There are now more children with major medical needs. Young patients may wait months to see a specialist and have to travel to another state to find one. Jim Kaufman is with the association. He says medical school tuition is high and pediatric specialists don't earn enough. The Senate health care bill would include $30 million to reimburse tuition for students like Patel.
Incentivizing those young physicians would help alleviate some of the financial burden that they're facing coming out of training programs.
Kaufman says that's not enough. Pediatric specialists see more Medicaid patients, so their total reimbursements are lower. There's a provision in the House bill that would boost those reimbursements. In Philadelphia, I'm Gregory Warner for Marketplace.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.